Well, good morning again, everybody. Please be praying for Joshua and that he can get into the doctors this week to get that knee looked at. He has a specialist that he needs to go to, and so sometimes getting into them is difficult. But we know the power of prayer, so be praying he gets in, and he's able to do that. You know, we just sang a bunch of powerful songs, and I hope and I pray that you were listening as well as allowing the words to fall deep in your heart. You know, when the Son has set us free, I am free indeed. Amen. The burdens of sin are gone. You know, and he yearns to take away the guilt and shame even. You know, and literally, we become a child of God. There's nothing greater than that. And so when the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. It's a precious truth, and it's contained throughout Scripture for you and I. And so as we think about Christ revealed, this truth should resonate to us every page of this precious, precious love letter that God has given us. That we should know that we are free from sin. Not free from responsibility, but free from sin. Also said, we sang, you know, you gave hope to every heart. You know, that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You are light and love. And do we walk in that? The greatness of our great God, the greatness of the Lord, and walk in his light and his love. And we know that he gives hope for every heart that is broken. I don't know about you, but you know, some days in life it's challenging. And if Christ is really revealed in our hearts and lives, then we need to be able to grasp that hope and live in that hope moment by moment each day. It's challenging. It's hard. Sometimes I fail in doing that. Sometimes I walk away and I want to do things in my own strength. Sometimes I want to walk away and say, sure, God, or something of that manner. But the reality is, he never ceases from giving his grace, mercy, and love, and hope. You know, right now on one of my computers, one of my passwords is Colossians 1:13, you know, where he has conveyed us out of darkness into the Son of his love. And that reminds me, every time I type that in, I am over here. I'm a child of the Most High God. Great are you, Lord. Eric is on vacation this weekend. It is he and Amber's 20th anniversary, and for some reason the husband decided to take his wife away for a while. Go figure. But anyway, so they're away, and so Billy is filling in at the Central Campus, and so Joshua very graciously allowed me to fill in here this week. To share with you. And as you consider Christ revealed and wanting it to make sense as we go through the seven churches and what we've already looked at, you know, a church that lost its first love, a church that is going to go and did go through severe persecution, a church that became just so, so compromising, and then a church that actually tried to present everything with duplicity. In other words, yeah, Christ is over here, but I can do all of this and worship all of this over here in the same place. And as we look at that, we just go, and so as I was praying and as I was going through Scripture and looking to the Lord what to do, a verse of Scripture popped to heart and mind, and I began looking at it. And we all know that Paul, throughout his time, you know, after salvation and as he began to grow in Christ, he goes, man, these are the latter days. The Lord's going to come. Lord's going to come, the Lord's going to come. And that was his mantra, and wanting to see people saved and wanting them to persevere, because Christ has been revealed and the truth of the gospel is very, very true. And so the Lord led me to 2 Timothy and this beautiful last epistle that Paul, under the Spirit of God, wrote before he went home to be with the Lord. And it's talking about producing fruit. He wants us to produce fruit. And as I kept studying, as I kept reading through the book and reading through it, and part of me wanted to settle on these verses, and part of me says, no, today you're going to have an exegetical rule in your heart and mind, and you're going to do something else. Well, no, I can't do that. I've got to focus on these. And yes, you are. And I go, okay. So this is going to be different. As I sent my title to Scott Primafori for this morning, I said, well, this is a pointless message. By that, I mean you're not going to have individual points. Huh? That's different. You know me. I'm kind of a pointed person. And you only understand that if you understand the 70s little animated movie called The Land of Point. And I'm sure none of you know it. I was lost as lost could be, and it was an animated film at primetime. Little guy, Oblio, and he had a round head in The Land of Point. His king said that everything was pointless in Oblio's life. And Oblio said, no, everything has a point. When we go through this chapter, I want us to see the Spirit's gentle hand, Paul's heart for Timothy. Not to just survive after his going, not just live, but to truly represent everything that Christ is in his life. And I am convinced that fruitfulness in the last days is God's passion for his children. Fruitfulness. And you're going to sit there and say, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, guess what? Neither do I. But he yearns for your life, all of you who are in Christ, my life, to matter for the glory of God. Let's pray and skim through this beautiful letter. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for your word. We ask your hand a blessing on this time. Might your word, might the seeds that are sown this morning just fall on rich, rich, fertile soil in each one of our hearts. Might you be magnified here in this place as we meet in your presence. Oh, Father, we yearn for you to be glorified, not only here in this place, but in each and every one of our lives, no matter where we are, whether we're in the home, whether we're in the workplace, whether we're in the shopping center someplace, wherever we're at, might life be truly all about you. So might we catch these beautiful, heartfelt, passionate words that your Spirit brought to pass through Paul's heart for young Timothy. And bring them vibrantly alive in each of our hearts and lives to grow us in your grace, to walk in your light and love consistently. Oh, Father, we love you. We just ask your hand a blessing during this time, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I invite everybody to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy as we embark on this journey this morning. And I want to share with you something that Leroy Eames shares in this book, The Lost Art of Disciple Making. He and his family were headed down to Florida on a vacation, and where they were driving, it was just surrounded by orange groves. Bright, vibrant, ripe oranges everywhere they went. And it was early in the morning. They liked to start early in the morning and stop, you know, early in the afternoon and have a nice evening together when they would go on vacation. And Leroy Eames, having seen all of the oranges, he goes, "I'll have orange juice with my eggs and toast and bacon this morning." And the gal goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any orange juice." And he's just scratching his head. What are you talking about? We're surrounded by oranges. We don't have. No, the machine is broken. And in Leroy Eames' heart and mind, he goes, "I see orange slices garnishing plates over here. I see people peeling oranges over here. We're surrounded by tons and tons of oranges, but I can't have orange juice." He added this to it. Christians are sometimes like that. They could be surrounded by many versions of the Bibles in their homes, surrounded by mature Christians, and have access to quality sound teachers wherever they go. But if something should happen on a Sunday morning where they can't make it for the preaching service, they would have zero nourishment for their souls. And he ends with this thought: the problem is not a lack of spiritual food. It's just that some Christians have not grown enough to know how to get it for themselves. Making disciples. The commitment and desire to grow, to be fruitful for God's glory. Notice what Paul tells young Timothy in verse 8 of chapter 1. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He's saying, listen, persecution could happen, but if there's going to be fruitfulness, you can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and you can't be ashamed of people who are suffering for the gospel. You know, people were walking away from Paul, and he highlights that in this letter. They were walking away because he was imprisoned. He was being tortured, literally, but he is saying, nah, don't be ashamed of me. Yeah, what I've done is for the gospel. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm ready to suffer anything as long as the gospel goes forward. And he reminds him that every single one of us has a purpose. So when you start thinking about the fruitfulness of God, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Amen? And understand you have a high calling and a purpose in the gentle hands of Christ. Amen? It's up for you and I to walk in that, to be committed in that, to go for that. Notice the second thing I would like us to see. Look at verses 13 and 14. He goes, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, Jesus. That good thing which has been committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us." He is reminding him to hold fast to this book, the teachings of God's word in his heart and life, and to realize that it comes from many different directions. You know, when we have a men's breakfast here, yeah, we have good food. Lots of bacon, lots of potatoes, lots of stuff, lots of good food. But you know what? The greatest food comes around the table when we open up the book and we start sharing. Thor kicked off the book of Romans, and we're going through the book of Romans. Next week, we jump into chapter 2. We're going to go through it verse by verse, and we're going to pick it apart. We're going to talk about it. And I'll tell you, the chatter around the table last week was beautiful and wonderful. You know, getting connected to those things, that is what God wants us to do. And then he says, hey, by the way, Tim, don't forget, when you got saved, you were gifted with spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Get going. Do them. You know exactly what they are. And do them. So hold fast to God's word. Use what he has done to equip you for his glory. Look at the beginning of chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Bottom line, you and I cannot be fruitful if we don't walk in the grace of God consistently. You and I have to consistently, consistently. That's what he wants them to remember. Remember wonderfully that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Bottom line, you and I don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to walk with God. And he just says, oh, I love you, my son. Be strong in that grace, because the difficult days will come. Those last days will be hard. We might walk through them and we be in the midst of them. And he just yearns for you and I to hold firm to his word and to his grace as we walk through. Notice another thing. Look at verse 2, right there in chapter 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well. Notice how it says there, you know, you and I must make disciples. You and I must be able to develop a way of sharing the truth, wanting to pass it along. You know, here in Ellicott, it's been entrusted to. Yeah, I'm fading into the oblivion. Retirement, I'm looking forward to it. Semi, anyways. But we're looking forward to it. But Joshua, you know, he's going to want to prepare men. You know, that was our goal while we were here, Diane's and mine, is to raise up more. You know, RJ, stick to it. All the things that you have learned and are learning, pass along. That's what God would want you to do. Mr. Primafori ran. I don't know where he went, but what you have learned, Scott, if you're in my hearing because you're down working on the TV or something, guess what? Oh, there you are. You were hiding behind the computer. Guess what? What's been committed to you, carry on. Spread it. Share it. Get folks excited about it through the power of the Holy Spirit so that. And that's just a small smattering of an example of the purpose of the church. It's the same with the ladies. Do the same. Get excited about it and pass it along in many different ways. Then he goes on to say this. Not only are we to make disciples, but you and I have to remain true. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, I have to admit, when I was in the military, I really did not contemplate very much about re-enlisting. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody. Vietnam was going on, and when I walked through an airport with my uniform on, it was not a pleasant experience. We were not regarded well. Kind of like police officers today in certain areas of our country. And so the thought of re-enlisting wasn't, Now, I was far away from the Lord. I wasn't saved or anything like that. But when I got saved and I said, oh, I need to endure like a good soldier. Huh. And you know, as a soldier during the Vietnam time, you know, we had to endure not just the ridicule from people who didn't understand, but also from the war itself and the consequences. And where I was, the thing I had to endure the most was the temptation of drugs because it was all around me. Enduring. And I did that for my own health, not because I wanted to glorify God, but it was everywhere. And so many other soldiers involved. And you have to rely on them. Listen, if you and I are going to be there, we have to be sober-minded. We have to be thinking about those things that God wants us to do. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That all falls together. And if you and I are going to endure, God has brought to pass my life now in 2021 for his glory. And so he says, Rich, I have equipped you. I have prepared for you everything that you're going to walk through to still glorify me. And you can endure because of who he is, because of who he is. I have to walk in his grace. I have to be strong in my faith. I need to hold fast. I can't be ashamed. I have to do those things. Bottom line, verse 5 in chapter 2 is, and also if anyone competes as athletes, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We have to obey God's word. We can't compromise. We can't be duplicit. Like the churches we saw. We cannot lose our first love. We have to be there doing those things that God wants us to do in obedience to God. And I know that's a word that people don't like to hear. Parents don't like to use it for the children to obey. The bottom line is we need to obey. That's what God calls us to do. It's not a negative thing. It's a great thing. To be able to walk with God in such a way of pleasing him means that we are walking in obedience to him. Drop down to verse 15. Notice what it says there. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, can you imagine that? Could you imagine the person receiving this letter and just getting pointless message, getting character-revealing truths every step of the way through God's word? I don't know about you, but as I read and as I study and as I look at, I can't go anywhere here without the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Spirit of God revealing character within, or the lack of it within, and the need to address it within. And so as we look at this, God wants us to be approved workmen. So wonderfully not ashamed. Those who truly walk with God, be diligent to present yourselves as an approved to God, a worker. Those who are not ashamed, striving to rightly know this. Gals, that Bible study, precept study, that'll help you rightly divide the Word of God. If you're struggling in that, that kind of study helps you do that. Right, Lisa? Yeah, it does. I mean, when Lisa came back from precepts class or whatever, her and Pat, they were going, wow, weren't you? Yeah. It was that good. And so I just encourage you ladies, you know, what we're doing isn't frivolous either. We want to help. That's what we are doing and striving to help people. Look at verses 20 and 21. Notice what it says. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, we're looking at being somebody in the great house, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood, clay. Some of us wants us to be vessels of honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, literally set apart to the usefulness for the master, prepared in every good work. Wanting to be honorable in life, wanting to be God's honorable as a child of God, to where it becomes evident that we're children of the Most High God. It is a precious thing to call ourselves children of God, is it not? You and I do not deserve to be adopted into God's family, and yet in all of his grace and mercy, he did that. When that really resonated in my heart and life, my brain kind of went, God, you want me as a child? Now, you would also have to understand, I came from an extremely broken home, and life was all messed up, and I had about five different dads as I passed around from place to place, and I had one biological dad who he and I did not see eye to eye. I'll leave it at that. But when dad got, my biological dad, trusted Christ as Savior at the age of 68, our relationship gloriously changed in a wonderful way. But I knew I had to reconcile with him after I became a Christian, which was challenging. Do you see? Children of the Most High God. You know, we're told we can cry out, Abba. That means daddy, father. You know, having been in Israel, Diane and I, we could hear the kids running around, Abba, Abba. You know, and it just, wow. They're calling out for their dad and the preciousness of it. And God's word says we can do that. He loves us like a dear, sweet father. An understanding father. A father who wants the very, very best for us. And he's just saying, can you honor me and be a vessel of honor in life? Ah, can't lose our first love. We cannot live in compromise. We cannot have this duplicit mind and lifestyle. We must strive to be a vessel of honor for our great God. Drop down to verse 22 of chapter 2. Notice what it says. Flee therefore youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I love this. You know, having a pure heart, being pure-hearted. That means we have to flee junk, garbage. Yeah, I'm trying to think of Ken Graves from Maine came in for a men's conference at the Central Campus for us. And I'm sitting there and he goes, hey, do you guys know, now I don't mean to gross anybody out before we eat, but I'm just going to share what he shared, all right? Hey guys, how many of you know Christ as Savior? You know you were saved out of a septic. No, really, your life was worse than what was in the septic tank that gets pumped out every now and then. Yeah, he was pointed, I guess. Oh, pointless message. He wanted to remind us how great God's grace and mercy and love is right off the bat. And unless you and I know that, how are we going to desire pure-heartedness? That we're willing to run away like Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife. Not me. Sorry, lady. No matter how charming, beautiful you might be, but I'm booking, no matter the consequences. And he left. The truth of God's word is that he wants your heart, my heart. And we have to pursue those things. That means you and I have to be intentionally committed to the pursuit of more righteousness, understanding the righteousness of Christ in our lives, to have our faith grow in God's grace, to be bathed in the love of God, to have a peace that passes all understanding, and to do it with God's people. Not meant to be lone rangers or be those guys up in the mountains live by themselves, you know, or Tim the Tool Man. You know, the reality is we need to be people that understand what true fellowship and camaraderie and family is. And that's the goal. We have a goal here at Ellicott, that we are the family of God. We maintain that. Then none of us are perfect. As a matter of fact, a lot of us are going to disagree with each other every now and then. And we live in a very divided country right now. It is everywhere, everything, you know, and we can't allow that to spill into the family of God. Even though we might make different choices along the way, the reality is the pursuit of those things, that righteousness, that faith, that love in Christ should be the goal, and we should be able to see that and share it within the family of God. Why? Because we don't want to leave our first love. We don't want to compromise in life. We don't want to live in duplicity. We want for it to be revealed that we love God. Look at verse 24, chapter 2. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. Now, he's talking about him as a pastor, but the bottom line is, I think God calls all of us to serve. Some way, somehow. You know? I mean, I love to see Gabe up here. I love to see RJ up here. I personally enjoy a bass guitar. I do. I wouldn't mind an electric guitar when Rhett was here. I love that. And listen to his electric guitar. I love good vocals. I can't do that, you know, but I love vocals. I can't wait to get percussion to going again somewhere along the line. Keyboard. All those kinds of things, acoustic guitar, you know, all of those kinds of things, and sharing that talent with us and pointing us to the right direction, that whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed, and I'm a child of God. I don't know about you, but that there's nothing more encouraging than that truth on a Sunday morning after a long week, coming in, yes, and I know it's the first day of the week. But to be able to understand, great are you, Lord. You are light. You are love. And getting back into that position of worship and worshiping who he is and wanting to serve him. You know, putting shingles on an old shed out here. Doing things like that. Making sure that the grass is mowed. You know, there's so many different places. Making sure that this is clean. And the bathrooms are clean. Downstairs for us to together, manning the doors to greet people as people come in, a willingness to grow enough to be able to mentor others, to be able to disciple others, and to rejoice in doing that, and coming alongside of people in their difficult days. You know, this week I had a community service funeral, and the sad thing about it was a very divided family. It was a larger family, and by divided, I mean a man married. Had four children, and after 15 years, the divorce happened. And shortly thereafter, he married a woman who had lost her husband to death, who had four children. And so now you had eight children. And when Dad died, it became a divided family, kind of his and hers, and trying to minister through it to get them to understand that death ought to bring you together. It ought to be a time of family and encouragement and comfort. Those kinds of things that would glorify God, though many of them were lost, and wanting to point them to that. The reality is wanting to use our talents to serve in whatever way. And that is my calling within that. I believe that was funeral 168 for me in less than 30 years. Yeah, you think I got it down pat by now, and I want you to know I don't. First funeral I went to after salvation, I went to, and this woman had been a part of the church for 55 years. And I don't mean this to condemn the man or the minister or anything like that, but in the back of the hymnal was a funeral process. And he read every word and inserted her name in every place and never shared one personal note about the woman. He sat back and, I can't do that. That isn't the way you've wired me, Lord. I need to share who the person is, as well as how great you are. So each funeral becomes unique in and of itself, and I rely on the Lord, and I pray about it, and I'm led to Scripture, wanting Him to be glorified. That's how God called me. That's how God has equipped me. I'm not saying He's equipped you, but I want you to get a picture. You have special gifts and talents, and He wants you to serve. It might be just to drive a stinking nail straight, which I can't. Maybe you can. Utilize it for God's glory. Amen? To be able to do things for God's glory. Serve. Serve in a precious way. That's what God's called us to do. Notice what it says in chapter 3. I'll jump a little bit here. Look at verses 10 and following. Chapter 3. Notice what it says. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. You believe God's word, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, perseverance. Persecution have happened to me in Antioch and also at Iconium, at Lystra also. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now notice, yes, verse 12. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I just want you to know that passionately pursuing Christ will come at a cost. But I want you to know it's all worth it. It is all worth it. And unless you understand that God can glorify Himself through that, you and I are going to, and be overwhelmed by it and crushed by it, and not walk with God because of it, and want to run away from God because of that. Paul said, no, I endured. You know that. You watched it. But fruitfulness happens when you endure and you walk through it God's way, realizing that He is walking with you, and it will be worth it all in the end. You know, when Billy Graham went to heaven, you know, I just sit back and I go, I wonder how many people he met there that went before him. He lived a long life. And that would say, you know, at that meeting, I trusted Christ as Savior. My life radically changed. Now, with somebody like Billy Graham, you and I can picture in our minds hidden fruit all over the place that he never meets. Can you and I grasp the same truth for our lives, no matter how mundane you think it is, that our lives are going to bring forth hidden fruit for God's glory everywhere we go if we walk with Him in the midst of everything in life and we rejoice in Him, wanting to never be ashamed, hold fast, be strong, make disciples, remain true, obey, be approved, be honorable, have a pure-hearted life and serve? Guess what? Then your and my life become worthy of being an example for others to follow. Paul said numerous times, you know, that Christ is our example, and all God's people said. Amen. But he also had the courage to say, yeah, follow me because I follow Christ. And that's the way our life should be. You know, and growing, if you and I in these end times, you know, are going to have any fruit, you and I will have it. We will spread seeds, crazy seeds like you won't believe. And you and I just have to trust the power of God's word. Notice verse 6. of chapter 3. Notice what it says in 6. I'm going backwards. I mean 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do we understand the power of scripture, that living word in our hearts and lives, and what we share, and how God takes that seed, wonderful seed, to share to where lives change, people's lives blossom for his glory and his glory alone. So much so that he ended with this real big, nice exclamation point for young Timothy chapter 4. Notice what he says. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season, out of season. Convince, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, love and patience, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do not do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The number of people I know that have gone after Joel Osteen is astounding. People that I thought were solid Christians. And I don't often name people, but I want you to know, I believe they have become people who have itching ears, and they just want their little ego stroked rather than to walk through the life that God has called them to. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody, but that's my opinion. God wants you and I to be able to teach. You know, I shared with you the funeral I had this week, and I had the joy of teaching and sharing the love of God and the salvation that comes in Christ and all of those things. Now, yeah, I'm called to do that. But you know what happens in the craziest, craziest places as well? I want you to hear this. Many of you know I was forced to take a sabbatical. I really didn't want to because I wanted to work with Joshua for 3 weeks before he came out here. And I went. I want you to know I went kicking and screaming. God gave us great gifts so that we could actually get away. And we went to a place up north near Breckenridge. And the place where we rented had this building which had we could utilize. It had a swimming pool, a couple of hot tubs, tennis courts, you know, all that stuff. Most people that lived there or owned the condos, they drove Porsches and stuff like that. They park crazy too. I wanted. But anyways, I thought, oh man, that place is going to be so crowded. But Diane kept saying, hey, I want to exercise in the pool. Let's go. I don't want to go. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't this. I was frustrated. I'm just kicking and complaining. I'm sorry. I'm being honest. We go in and there's not a soul in the whole place. And it has two hot tubs, a smaller one and a bigger one. And we went to get in the smaller one. It was cold. That's not a hot tub to me, you know. So we got in the bigger one and turned on the jets. And we're relaxing and it's wonderful. And I actually had my eyes closed and I'm talking to the Lord and just thanking him. I need to rest. I need to relax. And all of a sudden, a couple comes in. They go to the little hot tub. They don't want to be in with us, which I understand. And I said, I'm sorry, it's cold over there, but you're welcome to join us if you would want to. Hey, you don't mind if we join you? I said, no. And the gal's getting down in first. Hey, how long are you here for? Because we're here just for the weekend. And Diane, Rich is on sabbatical. And I'm thinking, yay. Remember, I'm not in a good mood. Does that mean you're a preacher or pastor? Yes. For the next 20 minutes, the questions came. I got to share my testimony of coming to Christ. I got to share the gospel of Christ. They asked me about marriage. They were not married. They asked about the keys to a successful marriage, which my wife chirped, "We've been married 50 years. Part of them not saved, 30 of them plus saved and following the Lord. Now, isn't that the weirdest place in the world that God would call somebody to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, a hot tub, with wealthy people? He was a doctor from Denver. Isn't that crazy? But only God. And you talk about a man with a broken heart. Because I was kicking and screaming. And God had this divine, beautiful appointment already for us. People, you and I have to understand that's God's way. If you and I passionately pursue Him, the bottom line, not only as pastors, but as people, we need to do that. 17 and 18 shares this, and I'll end with this. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, as that message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear the gospel also. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Bottom line, Christ will meet every one of our needs as we passionately pursue Him. And if you and I are going to live in the end times and not fall into the rut of those churches and the reality of those churches as they're explained and revealed for us, if we're going to not just survive this life, but blossom, be fruitful for our great God, pursue God. Forgive me for failing etiquette this morning. Amy Carmichael was quoted in a book called Holy Sweat. It says, sometimes when we read words of those who have been more than conquerors, the Pauls, we feel almost despondent. We say, I'll never be like that. But I want you to understand that those folks won through a step-by-step life. A little bit of the will, following the Lord. Little denials of selfishness. Little inward victories of faithfulness. Very, very little things. And step-by-step, they became what we see and who they are. Might ever see those little steps. They only see the accomplishment. But even so, those smaller steps were taken. There's no sudden growth, triumph to spiritual maturity. It is a work of passionately pursuing Christ. Moment by moment of our lives, my words at the end. I don't know where you are, but I yearn for you to thrive in fruitfulness for God's glory here in Ellicott. Day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, to pass the truth along. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we love You. We rejoice in Your goodness to us. Lord, we just ask that wherever we are here, each heart, I pray that they would have the courage to examine their hearts. Lord, if they're not in Christ, if they're not a child of God, Lord, give them the courage to repent of their sin. For confession is made with the mouth, and with the heart a man believes unto salvation. Oh, Father, draw them. Might they repent and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that they would have the courage to come forward and share that. And I invite Pat and Lisa to come up to be up here for prayer as well. And Lord, I just ask that you would just grow us in your grace. And that the rest of us, myself included, Lord, that we'd just be committed to these days, wanting to be honorable, never ashamed, truly following you. Good appointments for us. Ellicott has not been won for Christ yet. Peyton has not been won for Christ yet. Callahan has not been won for Christ yet. Yoder has not been won for Christ yet. Rush has not been won for Christ. Colorado Springs has not. So Lord, we lay our lives down. Be glorified in us. Might we be vessels of honor for the Master's use. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.